Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Radovan Karadzic, the former Bosnian Serb leader, was convicted Thursday of genocide and sentenced to 40 years in prison. Karadzic has been called the Butcher of Bosnia. He was found guilty for Serb atrocities during the war in Bosnia from 1992 to 1995. About 100,000 people died in that war. The UN International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia oversaw the trial. ITCY said the 70-year-old Karadzic was responsible for the crime of genocide in the 1995 Srebrenica massacre. Serb forces killed 8,000 Muslim men and boys in what has been called the worst atrocity in Europe since the Holocaust. Judge Ogan Kwan said the Srebrenica massacre could not have happened without Karadzic's support. However, Karadzic was found not guilty of genocide for driving Bosnian Muslims and Croats out of villages claimed by Serb forces. Karadzic was the most senior Bosnian Serb leader during the Bosnian War. He oversaw the Bosnian Serb army. The official commander of the army, former General Ratko Mladic, is also on trial for genocide in The Hague. In 2014, Karadzic only admitted to moral responsibility for his wartime actions. In an 874-page written statement at the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, Karadzic said he was not aware at the time of the killing at Srebrenica. Next, Katie Weaver brings us the latest news regarding the recent bombings in Belgium.
European Union Justice and Security Ministers are meeting in Brussels Thursday to discuss ways to increase intelligence and security. Terrorists carried out two bomb attacks in the Belgian capital Tuesday, killing at least 31 people and wounding 300 others. Police are searching for one additional suspect in the attacks. Officials earlier identified Khalid El-Bakhraoui as the attacker in the bombing at the Malbec underground train station. 20 people were killed in that explosion. Security video shows another man walking with Bakhraoui. Belgian media report that police believe this second man could also have been involved. El-Bakhraoui's brother Ibrahim has been officially identified as one of the two suicide bombers in the attack on the airport the same day. Media have reported the name of the second airport bomber as Najim El-Bakhraoui. He is a bomb maker for Islamic State and considered a main partner in the Paris terror attacks last November. A third man walking with the suicide bombers also appears in airport video. The recording shows him pushing a cart. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the Brussels attacks, as it did for the Paris attacks in November. Police say evidence suggests increasingly closer links between the Brussels and Paris terrorist strikes. The findings are raising questions about weaknesses in intelligence sharing and security cooperation. These questions will be a major part of Thursday's EU meeting. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker spoke to reporters in Brussels Wednesday. He described proposals for tighter border controls and measures to make it more difficult to get firearms within the EU. "We need to have a union of security," he said. Europe's visa-free system is also under increasing scrutiny. The system already is under heavy pressure from Europe's refugee crisis. Belgian officials are being pressured to explain how a terrorist network was able to plot and carry out two attacks from Belgium within months. Also, Turkish officials said Wednesday they had caught Ibrahim al-Bahrawi in 2013 at the Syrian border. They said they sent him to the Netherlands. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan told reporters, "Despite our warnings that this person was a foreign terrorist fighter, the Belgian authorities could not identify a link to terrorism." Belgian officials say the El-Bahrawi brothers were mainly known as criminals who spent time in prison. But EU Commission President Juncker urged people to support Belgium. "Who is at fault in the area of terrorism?" he asked in an interview. "Let's not start criticizing Belgium. I don't share this scorn." Michael Hayden is a former director of the U.S. National Security Agency. He told VOA that the terror in Brussels was almost inevitable. Hayden said, "If you look at what has happened, the soft targets, the transportation targets, the maximum civilian casualties, it's something we could see." Hayden also said it is certainly not the last attack Islamic State will carry out. The group has a network that seems to be active and thriving in the heart of Europe, Hayden added. I'm Katie Weaver.
On Thursday, Iraqi forces launched an attack near the city of Mosul. Also, Syrian troops entered Palmyra in a region-wide offensive against the Islamic State. Dan Friedel has more.
Iraqi forces have launched an attack in Mosul, and Syrian troops entered Palmyra in an offensive against the Islamic State militant group. On Thursday, Iraqi forces attacked Islamic State militants about 75 kilometers from the city of Mosul. About 4,000 U.S.-trained Iraqi forces moved toward 12 villages southeast of the city Thursday morning. The troops moved in from two directions. Sunni Arab forces joined in the battle. The troops took over four villages, but did not control the entire area. Najat Ali is a Kurdish Peshmerga general observing the fight. He said IS attacked with suicide bombers, mortars, and guns. That stopped the Iraqi advance. IS burned tires, creating a dark smoke screen. The Peshmerga fighters said they are not involved in the battle for Mosul right now because it is a traditionally Sunni Arab area, but they are giving important information to the Iraqi soldiers. The Sunni fighters are very important to maintaining control of the traditionally Sunni areas near Mosul. Ali said airplanes from the coalition working to defeat IS, including U.S. warplanes, flew overhead and struck the villages. Ali said this is the first part of the operation and is the most important if the group wants to retake Mosul. They will not liberate Mosul easily, he said. Maybe it is harder than before. The Peshmerga fighters said they are preparing for a possible IS counterattack. They are standing ready at the border between their territory and Sunni territory. At the same time in Syria, forces supported by Russian military airplanes moved against IS in the ancient city of Palmyra. Syrian state media report that troops are already inside the city. But another group observing the conflict between Syria and IS said the battles are still at the edges of the city. The fighting continued into the night. IS took over Palmyra in 2015. Palmyra is a historic city with 2,000-year-old Roman ruins that IS fighters have destroyed. The destruction of the ancient temples and tombs in Palmyra has been called a war crime by the United Nations. The Syrian forces of President Bashar al-Assad are trying to take back Palmyra and open a road to the eastern part of the country. A U.S.-led coalition also said it carried out airstrikes near Palmyra on Wednesday. It was the first strike by the coalition since March 4th. A soldier interviewed by the Syrian-run television channel said the army and its allies would keep moving beyond Palmyra to fight against IS in northern Syria. I'm Dan Friedel.
Some Muslims in the United States say they are experiencing Islamophobia, or the fear of Islam, more than ever in 2016. But some Muslims are finding ways for others to better understand their religion. Christopher Jones Cruz has more.
Some members of the Muslim community in the United States are speaking out against what they believe is an unfair fear of their religion. They say the fear of Islam, what is often called Islamophobia, is a growing problem. But some members of the U.S. Muslim community also are taking action. Saif Mazar was born in the suburbs of Chicago, Illinois. He now works and prays on Chicago's Northwest Side at the Muslim Community Center. He told VOA that he does not always feel accepted in the community. "I guess people look at me differently," Mazar said. "Like if I was to go to, like, a store or restaurant, I kind of sometimes put my head down a little bit. So people don't look at me in, like, a terroristic way, or he looks like a terrorist." 270 kilometers south of Chicago is the city of Peoria, Illinois. Muslims are in the minority in Peoria. Over 43% of the population of Peoria is Christian. However, over 10% of those in the central Illinois city are Muslims. Imam Kamal Mufti is concerned about feelings against Muslims. He is a scholar and religious leader at the Islamic Foundation of Peoria. Mufti said, "The comments made to Muslims are like, all Muslims are terrorists, or that Muslims celebrate 9/11, which is September 11th, the day of a number of terrorist attacks in the United States in 2001. Mufti made a number of observations on religious relations to VOA. He said the hardest speech to listen to happens between Christian and Muslim children. He added that anti-Muslim speech reaches its highest point during election season. Anti-Islamic rhetoric began this political season when presidential candidate Donald Trump called for a ban on Muslims entering the United States. Trump also said he would consider closing some U.S. mosques. "I don't think a lot of people understand what that anti-Muslim rhetoric does to children, does to grown-ups, to women who choose to wear the headscarf and dress in more apparent religious garb," Mufti said. But Mufti says he wants to change people's minds. Earlier this month, he opened the doors of his Islamic Center for an event including different religions. The speaker's messages dealt with tolerance, peace, and respect. The service produced a large crowd, which filled the center. Most attending were non-Muslims. Mosques are not unwelcome places. They are not closed places, said Mufti. What essentially Muslims do in mosques is pray, play, socialize, and have fun. Muslims are about 1% of the U.S. population. Throughout the world, however, the religion is growing. The Pew Research Center predicts that Muslims could equal the number of Christians worldwide by 2050. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
This is what's trending today. Wednesday was National Puppy Day. Lots of people use social media to post adorable photos of their furry companions. Americans definitely love their dogs. But what happens when dogs outlive their owners? That is going to happen to Kathleen Zadima, a dog lover from the U.S. state of Washington. Zadima has lung cancer and does not expect to live much longer. She has three dogs, Australian Shepherds. Zadima is making plans for the end of her life, and she wrote this post on Facebook in March. "My heart is breaking, and I'm sobbing as I write this." Zadima said she needs someone to take all three dogs and not break them up. The new owner must have a large yard for the dogs to run, jump, and play. The yard must have a fence so the dogs are safe and cannot get loose. But Zadima lives on a small island in the cold waters off the coast of Washington State. There are few people on San Juan Island who would be able to take in three full-grown dogs together. For about 3 weeks, Zadima's post was passed from person to person. It was shared more than 30,000 times. Neighbors being neighbors, another islander, Danielle Cochran, walked over to Zadima's home and asked if she could help. She did not know Zadima, but she knew her dogs from seeing them around town. Zadima's last wishes will not go unanswered. A local television station says Cochran and her husband will take the two younger dogs soon. But the third and oldest will stay at her side on her deathbed until Zadima dies. I got everything I wanted, except for the dying part, Zadima says. And that's what's trending today. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
This Everyday Grammar is all about the passive voice. The passive is a verb form in which the subject receives the action of the verb. For example, I was born on a Saturday. Most sentences in English follow the subject-verb-object pattern, known as the active voice. For example, I love you. In this example, the subject is I, the verb is love, and the object is you. The subject performs the action of the verb. But sometimes the subject is acted upon or receives the action of the verb. This is called the passive voice. Imagine that someone stole your wallet, but you do not know who did it. You could say, "My wallet was stolen." In this passive sentence, my wallet is the subject, was stolen is the verb. There is no direct object. The wallet did not steal itself. The speaker does not know who stole the wallet.
To form the passive, use a form of the verb be, followed by a past participle verb form. You can form the passive in several verb tenses, but the simple present and the simple past are the most common. Only transitive verbs can be passive. Intransitive verbs, or verbs that cannot take a direct object, cannot be passive. You cannot say, I was arrived by train, because the intransitive verb, arrive, cannot be followed by an object. Most of the time, users should avoid the passive voice. The passive voice can make the speaker or writer seem indirect and weak. Which would you rather hear? I love you, active voice, or you are loved by me, passive voice.
But there are several situations when you should use the passive. The most common reason to use the passive is when the actor is unknown or unimportant. For example, my visa was processed, and my shoes were made in India, and the car was imported from Germany. In these examples, it is not necessary to know exactly who performed the action. Sometimes speakers use the passive even when they know the person who did the action. In this case, use the word by followed by the actor.
For example, Great Expectations was written by Charles Dickens. You could also use the active voice. Charles Dickens wrote Great Expectations. Both are correct. The passive voice emphasizes the book. The active voice emphasizes the writer. In informal speech, the verb be can be replaced with the verb get. For example, instead of saying, I was hit by a car, you can say, I got hit by a car. Listen to this famous song by the Eurythmics. You will hear two active and two passive sentences. Notice how singer Annie Lennox used the passive with both get and be.
Another reason to use the passive is to avoid naming the person who performed an action. This is common in politics and law. At times, powerful people want to admit to a mistake without blaming specific people. In this case, they often use the passive phrase, mistakes were made. Listen to a TV interview with President Obama. A reporter asked the president about a report of abuses by the Central Intelligence Agency. Here is how President Obama replied.
Any fair-minded person looking at this would say that some terrible mistakes were made.
And here is President George W. Bush using the same phrase. A reporter asked him about the firing of some prosecutors.
And he's right, mistakes were made. And I'm frankly not happy about them.
You might hear the passive voice in a courtroom. For legal reasons, sometimes lawyers have to use the passive voice to avoid directly blaming a suspect for a crime. Listen to this courtroom dialogue from the popular TV drama, The Good Wife. A prosecutor is accusing a person of killing a man named Wagner.
How did he kill Wagner?
Objection!
Withdrawn. How was Wagner killed?
Did you notice how the prosecutor switched his question from the active to the passive voice? Listen one more time.
How did he kill Wagner?
Objection!
Withdrawn. How was Wagner killed?
At the beginning of the clip, the prosecutor asked, how did he kill Wagner? The defense attorney objected to the question. The prosecutor rephrased the question in the passive voice to avoid blaming the suspect. He asked, how was Wagner killed?
Overusing the passive voice is a major problem in student writing, even for native speakers. Try to keep your passive sentences under 10% of your total. Try converting some of your long sentences into simple subject-verb-object sentences. There is much more to learn about the passive, including the stative passive and participle adjectives. We'll address those topics in a future episode of Everyday Grammar. Until then, sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world on seven seas. Everybody.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.